Turn me with me Hebrews this morning, chapter 3. I want to really thank Ken last week on heaven and what God has prepared for us for heaven. And reason why that was a blessing, because I just finished a book on Revelation by this guy named Govit. It's a tremendous blessing, and I want to thank you for blessing us last week. This sermon has to do with heaven a little bit. I felt it was kind of a piggyback off what, you know, Ken was saying, but it's a little different. It's one thing to be a Christian. Another thing is to arrive in heaven. And why do you say that? Because I use Israel as an example. Chapter 4 we're going to go into a little bit. And why many people fail to reach their destination of their rest in Canaan land. But God has a prepared a rest for Christians as well. Because this sermon deals with the Jews that became a Christian. And their whole life evolved around Sabbath. So they're concerned about their Sabbath, the eternal rest. And what Christians don't really realize that God has a rest or Sabbath for Christians that sometimes we misunderstand. Some of you think, oh, we're going to go back to Saturday and have Sabbath. No. There's two works of God, the works of creation, which God did. The other work is the work of redemption, what Christ did. So those, each one of those works ended in rest. Okay, God rested the seventh day, gave the Sabbath to Moses as a memorial, and what Christ did, he entered into heaven and he rested, so to speak. But you know, you and I know that he is the high priest interceding for you and I, and he is ever interceding for you. Amen. One of the things I want to just share with you, many of you read the Bible, which is good, and as you read it, especially the New Testament speaks of it, when you read about Christ, Jesus Christ. When I was growing up, a lot of people say, receive Jesus into your heart. In reality, that's kind of a lie, because you can't receive Jesus into your heart. Jesus in the right hand of God, interceding on your behalf. He's in heaven. You can't receive into your heart. You receive the recreated spiritual work of God, the Spirit of God that comes into your life. And his name is Jesus. Jesus, his name was given when he was born, but when he was anointed at Jordan River, you know that, he became Jesus Christ. Christ, Christ meaning Christos, or the anointed one. When anointing comes, the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God is moving in your life. What you want to do is that anointing where the Spirit of God is in you. The key to it is getting on you. You'll get it later. Okay, Hebrews 3. My glasses. Boy, I had perfect vision. And I thought year 2020, the year of perfect vision, perfect disaster. Okay, now I do want you to know I'm going to read this, so please, I'm going to read it fast. And I apologize, the Word of God is not always, should be read fast. But I want to cover a lengthy portion of Scripture as I read it. And I will expound it a little bit. And I believe it'll encourage you, help you today. Because I don't want you to miss out. Okay? Heaven is our destiny. Rule and reign with God is something else. When you overcome this world, the millennial reign, the New Jerusalem, all that is what Ken's going to expound next Sunday, and is something that's a little additional. Our objective is to leave this earth, whether it's the flesh or by the Spirit, to get to heaven, be with God, reside with him, or rule and reign with him, or the bride of Christ. The bride is selected out of the group of people. Not everybody's automatically become bride of Christ. If you don't believe that, study the Scripture. Not everybody who is a Christian becomes a bride of Christ, or you're going to rule and reign the millennial reign with Christ. Okay? I could verify that. If you want to know the truth after that, come talk to me, and I will share that, because Many Christians, even myself, you know, we're going to ride with the right horse. When you're saved, you come back with Christ and fight, you know, the devil and all this other stuff. But it's not true. The overcomers. Okay? Revelation 1 and 2 spells it out very clearly what the destination of Christians is going to be at the end. And I want to get going before I get too sidetracked. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your profession, Jesus Christ, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had built the house is more honored than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. Moses very was faithful in all his house and servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken thereafter. But after, as son, his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence, the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Did you hear that? Amen. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation and day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test, proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, that if it's called today, lest any of you harden through deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as the provocation. For who, when they had heard, did provoke? Did not all that came out of Egypt by Moses? But with them whom was it grieved 40 years, was it not with them that has sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? For we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we who have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. In this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth. I want to just go back verse 5 minute. It says, and in this place again, if they shall into my rest. God calls it his rest. Okay? Verse 6. Seeing therefore remaineth that some of you must enter into it, and they should whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So if you're talking about David there, he's quoting Psalm 95. You can jot it down because I don't have the time this morning. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That's you and I. Okay? For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have this great high priest is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not an high priest, we cannot be touched with a feeling by infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. Father, thank you for this morning, God, the privilege you've given me, God, to speak your word this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, even today, God, you are the one that verifies the word, confirms the word, empowers the word. We invite you this morning. Have your way in the midst of your people. I thank you for hearts to receive it, ears to hear it. I thank you, God, your goodness and mercy. God, be not only bestowed upon Calvary's cross alone, all the things you have provided through that Calvary work, but through your Spirit, as you manifest yourself through your people this morning, use us for your glory. God, we exalt you, magnify you, give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
And amen this morning. Now, I want to talk about rest this morning, just for a minute, to you and I. It's not a cessation of work. It's in a lot of people think about is no work or cessation of work. But literally is speaking about completion of your work. God has given you a task, a mandate in your life, individual. You have a task to do in this planet before you go. Okay? It's very important for you to understand this, because the verse 1, as you look at it, is a partakers of heavenly calling. He's speaking to, not to Christians like you and I, but Jews who converted to Christianity. Okay? He says, consider. What's he saying by consider? He's saying, consider all the things that was written prior to it. First 4 chapters of Hebrews dealing with superiority of Jesus Christ. Okay? Over the prophets, over the angels, prophets, apostles, and Christ is a superior over all of them. Lastly, talks about the superiority over Moses. If you talk to any Israelite or any Jew, Moses extremely exalted above every individual in their culture and their religion. Are we okay?
Yes.
Okay, he says, consider. What are you talking about, consider? We need to consider Christ, what he has done. This whole chapter, 4 chapters in Hebrews, it deals with about you and I always considering about, we call our Lord, our Savior, Messiah, the King of Kings, consider him. We don't ponder him enough. We don't embrace what he has done enough. And Tom did an excellent job about testimony about Christ and what he, you know, shared about his testimony, his representation of what he believes in Jesus Christ. It's a phenomenal this morning that many Christians, we only consider God when we go through problems or trials, we're in church. We have to consider him, ponder him, think about him. Is thinking through the matters, like you solve problems and things, you have to think through, consider about Christ, what he has actually done for you, what Tom was saying today. Christ is mentioned above all the people that's in there. He's considered our high priest. He says, wherefore? Wherefore? Is literally, okay, the excellency of Christ that talks about how great this man is. When I was growing up, my wife and I worked with Billy Graham's ministry. That was back almost 40 years ago with Leighton Ford and many other people at Yale University. And he is a great man of God, Billy Graham. And no one is ever going to come close to him and his stature, as I believe, as a man who is loved by people. But to me, it's not concerned about love by people. It's by love by God. It's not the great exploit you do, okay? Is when you are stirred by God in that peculiar or that unique moment that you share about the glory of God. So you talk about Billy Graham. Everybody knows D.L. Moody. But who won D.L. Moody to the Lord? Nobody knows D.L. Moody, who won him to the Lord. He was getting his shoes at Boston. A shoe salesman named William Kimball sold him a pair of shoes, led D.L. Moody to the Lord. Those of you who don't know that, D.L. Moody's ministries actually won Billy Graham to the Lord. So this one man, William Kimball, obscure, unique individual, all he was doing, his job, his duty as a Christian, to share the glory of God, because that's all he was doing, is pondering, thinking about the greatness, what the Messiah has done for him, what God has done for him. It's amazing to me. It's a message before you and I today, not only for us, but the succeeding generation that come. We need to consider the excellency of Jesus Christ. He said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. See, today, he's talking about now, the present. He's talking about right now. While the grace and blessing is available to you, is a time coming. We always talk about, you know, this is bad in the world, and this is, you know, terrible in our government. But I want you to know, things are going to get worse, not better. Those of you who have this daydream about that it's going to be a great revival at the end of the world, I'm going to tell you, it's not. It says many going to fall away from God. Many, many going to be deluded. Because when Satan is cast out of heaven, man, there's going to be a strong delusion of lying spirit that's going to lie to even people today that you have no idea that is coming. This is scripture. Today, if you hear his voice, today, not tomorrow, not yesterday, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Man, the heart is the issue that God addresses, because the heart is the moral center of our being. God speaks to your heart, not to your intellect, not how you feel, not what you want, not what you desire. You see, I'm a little bit loose today. It's the moral center. Because why? The issue is in the heart. Is where issues forth life. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart with diligence, for out of the heart issues forth life. This is who we are. We have a spirit. We have a recreated spirit. The spirit of God lives in you. But you are a living soul. Your will is the one who is dominating factor. If you chose not to yield to God, there's nothing that's going to make you yield to God, because you choose it. Your will says, no, I'm going to cater to the flesh. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation. See, it is true. It is difficult in life because we go through many things. But problems and difficulties doesn't change you. What it does is exposes who you are. It doesn't change you. Just reveals your nature. It's amazing. Man, how many trials and testings that we go through. But we don't calmly say, God, you died for me. You're willing to die for me. For me to comprehend, no one even cared about me. No one gave me the time of the day, but you died for me. All this is nothing. God, you're more than able. Is rest in God. I had 4 back operations when I was younger. And the doctor said I was not going to walk when I'm 50. Blew my disc out. Ruptured disc. Blown discs. You name it. 5th operation, they want to put a rods in my back. I said no. I couldn't even walk. I was in a fetal position most of the time. Percocets galore by the jars. I said, no, I can't do this. This is way out of hand. I said, I'm a guinea pig for the doctors. All they have done, take my money, take my life. Now I can't. They're going to tell me I can't walk. I said, God, you're greater than the doctors. I said, you're greater than this. You can recreate my back. You can give me new disc, new vertebra, everything. You are more than able. So I said, no, forget it. I lost my house. We had a beautiful built house. My wife and I, we lost it. Men found a little dinky, ran down shack we bought, and we were able to afford that, live there. But we trusted God. Trusted God. And then took the Percocet, threw down the toilet. I said, God, I'm not going to take nothing. I don't want nothing. All I need is you. I said, God, the doctors say this, but your testimony is this. You're the healer. You're the giver of life. In him is life, and the life is the light of men. John 1:4 says that, God, at that moment, a light bulb went on. Amen. Like the Ford had a good idea. I said, oh my goodness, God, you have a better idea than all these doctors, what they have to say. And I'm almost 70. I'm still working. I'm working hard. Man, I feel strong. And I feel like sometimes my back down where my all, it cracks. I could crack my back. Hello. Why should I not ponder him, consider him, the contradiction of man? Man, give him the praise and glory that is due. Man, by just loving him, telling everyone that I meet that Christ is real, that if you just give him a chance, an opportunity, he'll do a miracle in your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. See, we go through life, and we kind of consider ourselves like going through wilderness. This wilderness ride that we're going on, life is called. How could God ever manifest himself to you if you don't go through any troubles? We always pray, oh God, exempt me from problems. But how could God do miracles when you don't go through problems? How could God manifest himself to you if you don't need nothing? He moves when we're at the end of our ropes. I like that little sign there. Worry ends when faith comes in. Something like that. I can't see it. When faith begins. We always worry. You know, the amazing thing about human beings is that we only have touch of the flesh. But we don't enter into people's minds what they think about you or situations, or even their spirit, how genuine their spiritual life is. It's like the Old Testament, the temple area, if you look at it, the outer court is where all the people hung out. They do the trading and the borrowing and the buying, whatever. It's the flesh. But the inner court is where the priest hangs out. Only the priest could go there. You are the priest of your mind. You're the priest of your very soul. No one could go there except you. And the Holy of Holies, only the high priest goes in there once a year. That's where your spiritual dimension is. Everybody could talk the talk, but it's not talking the talk. It's walking the walk. Just because you look good. I look good this morning. Except I brought the wrong suit jacket. I was in a rush. I have two suits almost exactly the same. I grabbed the wrong jacket. And my wife says, I'm looking at it. I says, two different colors. I said, this is the wrong suit jacket. But thank you this morning for your patience. Verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily what is called today. You know, this church is kind of a unique. That's why I'm here. We have a huggy time. But huggy time is not enough. It's good to meet people and encouraging them in church. But it's outside of the church where you encounter life. God's here. We want God to come and help us. But we don't really need God help here, in a sense. We need God's help outside of these four walls. That's why it says encourage one another. I want to encourage you, this people that's sitting right here. I saw a sign the other day, and it says this. It says, every day you'll meet people, they're going through things you have no understanding of. Be always kind. And I said, wow, that's a really good sign. So I wrote it down. I took it, put it in my memory. I said, that's really nice. But I'm wondering about Christians going out of their way. I know some of you do, because I hear some of the reports and whatnot. I appreciate that. That's what real Christianity is, outside of the four walls of this building. And you and I understand, it says encouraging one another. Against what? The Jews, they turned Christian, they needed encouragement. That's why Apostle Paul is encouraging them. Some of you maybe think somebody else wrote the book of Hebrews. It doesn't matter. I think Paul wrote it. It doesn't matter in the reference. We could debate it all day just by who wrote whatever. But it says, encourage one another. Why? Because when you encourage people, you encourage them about God, it builds their faith, strengthens their faith, because it's enough of the enemy's trash to tear down, men, good people like you and I, amen, to destroy our faith before God. He's talking about apostasy. So the Jews who are Christians won't turn back, go back to Judaism. So we don't turn back, go back into the world that we came out of. We need people to encourage one another, strengthen one another, pray for one another. That's what he's talking about, exhort one another. It's all through the Bible. If you look at it, 1 Corinthians 12:25, care for one another. John 13:34, love one another. James 5:16, pray for one another. There's dozens and dozens of scripture in the Bible, men, what we need to do as the body of Christ. And no one will neglect their feet. If the feet is hurting, you're going to take care of it. No one is going to neglect your hand when his hand is hurting. Man, we're going to take care of it, because we call the body of Christ. We're called body of Christ. Verse 14 and 15, it goes through the issue of being partakers of Christ. We are partakers of Christ through salvation. We are, whether you know it or not, we are a family. And sometimes family has a dysfunctional problems. But I think Christians have a adhesive called, amen, the glue of love that binds us together. If you ever read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, but please don't quote me word for word, because I might not quite remember all the scripture. Verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Verse 3 talks about, by his divine power has given you all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. And the next verse talks about, is his most great and precious promise. We are partakers of the great and most precious promise. So what? Why? So we could become like him. Man, be partakers of divine nature. Divine nature. Jim Wood, I grew up in the streets of Korea. I went to church at 10 years old. I had two washers in my pocket. I had no money. The washers we use made little hockey sacks out of it, out of paper. And these were valuable to me. And the basket went by, and I took those two washers and put them in the washer. I said, God, if you are real, answer my prayer. I want to go to America. And here I am standing in front of you, 10 years old, God's miracle. That doesn't mean that I served God for the next 15 years. I was out by the okey-doke. Till I met my wife, who was a Christian, and I just tore her to pieces about Christianity. My brother became Christian, got saved. I said, I lost a brother. Then, And God was still working in my life, even though I abandoned him, forsaken him, pushed people away from him. God will never, never, ever let you go. Unless you tear yourself away from him. Claw your way away from him. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It says in the Bible, being our confidence. He is the confidence. It can't be government. Government changes every 4 years. Come on. We're hoping for a new government shortly. But if it's not, I cannot put my confidence in that. I got to put my confidence in God. He is your confidence. He is your resting place. He is your peace. He is the joy. Saying today, if you hear his voice, is our duty to hear God. It's not just a request. Oh, would you please listen? He is the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God. He is a creator. He's the one who gave you life, your existence. We need to hear him. We need to understand. We need to listen. How often we don't listen to God when God is prompting you, talking to you. How much more is it important to listen to him than some dignitary or some official or someone who's got money? Some clout in life. He is the God Almighty that became that flesh, Jesus, that you and I know, a Savior, Redeemer. He is not only the Savior, he is the Word, the eternal Word, that he speaks today to you through the Word of God. That's how come you cannot love God any more than you love God's Word. People say all the time, I love God. Do you read the Word? You study the Word? No. Don't tell me you love God. I have read the Bible over and over and over and over for the last 40 years. There's so much depth into the Word of God. It's phenomenal. I said, God, I've read this dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of times. I've studied it, preached many, many, many times. I said, God, help me. Give me a brain. Mm-hmm. Just like I think as Tom was saying it, you become a Christian, your brain develops in a different dimension. Mm-hmm. I'm actually a little smarter than I used to be. Thank you for that. Verse 16 and 19 says, those that came out of Egypt, most of them did not make it. There's a lot of professing Christians, like Tom was saying, it's 2.3, almost 3 billion people that consider themselves Christians. Every degree you could imagine from what they believe, what they say they believe. And I don't put any of them down. I was right up here about 20 years ago, and Woodford Falls is a river there. I was sitting there. My son Jesse was sitting right over there. He was a little boy, 30 years ago. And he had goggles on and swimming in the river. And I'm sitting there dangling my water, my feet in the water. This guy walks up. Man, he was a ninja or something because I didn't even sense this guy or nothing. Sits down next to me, puts a six-pack of beer into the water. And he started talking to me. He was a Jew. Talking to me. I said, God, you're sending me a Jew. I don't know a whole lot about a Judaism. So I started talking about God. And he's talking about Judaism. I said, you know something? I wish I was a Jew. I wish I was born a Jew. That I became a Christian as a Jew. And he asking me why and all this. And we talked a long, long, long time. I said, it is a heart-wrenching thing for me, the children of Israel rejected Christ, and they crucified their Lord and their Master, the Messiah, they are waiting for. They're waiting 1,500 years from Abraham for the Messiah to come. And they crucified him, and they handed over a murderer, Barabbas. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children forever. The curse has followed that nation of Israel, the children of Israel. And we are the beneficiary of God's blessing that turned from the Jews to us. And I'm not going to go into the end of what that is, but please do not put the Jews down. In chapter 12 of Romans, it said that God's going to reinstate, amen, that olive branch and restore the children of Israel. But the text is here is talking about all those that came out of Egypt. Egypt is type of the world. You and I came out of the world. Egypt is always thought as the type of the world. We're saved. That's come children of Israel. They're saved out of the blood of the Lamb. The type supposed to be Christ's blood. That's what the sacrificial lamb was, a type of Christ. They went through the Red Sea, the baptism. You and I went through baptism. Amen. If you're a Christian, you should be baptized. The cloud was there, the type of the Holy Spirit. When you encounter God in salvation, the cloud by day, cloud by night, amen, spoke to them, protected them, guided them, led them. Are you here?
Yeah.
Man, you study that. It goes to Rephidim,
yeah.
Chapter 17. Man, the rock, water out of the rock. And you and I know that symbolically, man, the piercing of the Lord's side. Man, blood and water gushed out. That's, amen, the saving grace of God. But you and I understand that God pulled you out of Egypt. We could rejoice. We could rejoice, beloved. Amen. Amen. But I want you to know, these people never entered into the promised land. The whole generation died in the wilderness. I don't know how many people that I've encountered in my life that known Christ has gone away from God. Oh, they say they still believe, but their heart is not in it. They just praise God with their lips, but their heart is far away from Him. When God says, don't harden your heart with unbelief. Unbelief is not something that most people think, oh, I don't know because I don't believe it. Unbelief is a decision. It's a decision of the will that you say, I will not listen to God. It's a refusal, amen, to take heed to God's voice. If you look at chapter 4, it's a continuation of the superiority of Christ. Again, he speaks about rest in chapter 4. Amen, it talks about Canaan rest as well. The Israelites never entered into the Canaan land, had rest, because they had their enemies, Canaanites, amen, the Jebusites, the Hittites. The Moabites, all the ites were there. Maybe you encounter some ites.
Yeah.
I've encountered many in my life. Amen. But Christ is the one who leads you and I into the perfect rest.